So let's get right into it. This afternoon, I'm going to give you some pointers on the whole construction, the whole process of starting your business from beginning to end. There's a lot of stuff that I didn't include in here just for the sake of time, but we're going to be able to discuss the generalities of it. If you have any specific questions, you are going to be able to come to me and I'll give you my card. You can call me anytime you wish. So why am I here? Again, for some of you who weren't here this morning, I'm a general contractor. I do mostly government projects. I do a lot of commercial projects, restaurants. I've built over 15 of them in the last few years, anywhere from 800 square feet to 8,000 square feet. And it gets trickier as they get bigger, obviously, but that's what I do. And let's see here. So I'm a partner of Pacific Benchmark General Contractors. I also have my real estate company, Smart Vision Realty. I'm the broker. I have four agents under me. One other agent does a lot of commercial property, but the rest of them specialize in residential properties. And I did have Cafe Stems, which I mentioned I sold earlier last year. And I'm also director of the San Diego Care Group. Some of you know it's a young adult group in San Diego County. We're the largest young adult SDA group, and we are extremely active in all parts of the church. And as I mentioned last year, I sold Cafe Stems, but people still ask me for recipes, and I'm still willing to give them out. Issues we're going to cover today. First is your restaurant concept. So it seems kind of trivial, but it's got to be a very good concept, and it's got to be a very complete concept. And getting this down is often the first groundwork that you have to lay, and you have to consult with a lot of people if you don't have all the ideas. But if you have the drive and you have the imagination, the creativity, and some culinary expertise, this is a good place to start. We're going to go over the financial analysis. There's a lot of dynamics when it comes to, you know, putting the restaurant together, financing, personal finances being involved. Also, demographics, who do you want to target? What areas do you want to target? Locations are very important. And then we have the searching for the property. This is a very arduous task that can take months in order to establish, so we're going to go over that. Selection of your broker and contractor. I won't spend too much time on that, but this is a very vital important part of the process. Construction of your restaurant. And finally, we'll have other things to consider. Your restaurant concept. So, like I say, match the concept with the location. You're going to have to, you know, see if you have a vegan, vegetarian restaurant, will your concept do well in a Westfield mall? Are you going to be able to make that rent? Are you going to be able to pay the employees? Are you going to be able to cover all that overhead that you have? So you have to kind of realize that if the demographics support it, then you can start studying that area. Make sure you have the profitable model. This is your standard business analysis, your model of supporting your expenses with your revenues. And then there's another way to test the market. I have a good friend. He's the owner of Ice Kimo. It's a dessert place. But he wanted to sell a shave ice. So he went to this other restaurant owner. Well, it's like a cafe. And she said, ma'am, you have a little corner, like 200 square feet, that I've never seen any chairs or anything with over there. Do you mind if I rent it out for you for a couple hundred dollars a month? She was like, go right ahead. And so he started his Instagram. He started his Yelp reviews in a little corner of her restaurant for $200 a month. And he started cranking out shave ice. And now he has a brick and mortar store that's been around for about 5 years. And he's producing about $350,000 a year. Yeah. So test the market. Make sure you're a viable concept. So our financial analysis, we're going to look at a typical brick and mortar space. We're looking at about 1,200 square feet. Roughly can seat about 30 to 40 people. Your permit and architectural costs are only about $10,000. Your construction cost plus inspections. Without a hood, it's about $130 to $150, and then you got to have reserve for marketing, stocking, opening, lease for between $10,000 to $20,000. These are obviously very general numbers in your typical city. So, to start your own brick and mortar restaurant, you have to have capital somewhere between $160,000 to $180,000 for a 1,200 square foot space. And that's quite a commitment. And some people, you know, are able to find the capital and to do it, to make their dream come true. I'm going to go over other alternatives that are less costly or require less capital. So this is my cafe that I sold last year, Cafe Stems. It was actually 1,050 square feet. It's a fast casual concept, no waiters and waitresses. There's me working day and night. Acai bowls. The Burmese tea leaf salad, one of everyone's favorite. We're the only cafe to sell it in all of San Diego. This is a restaurant. So the restaurant that I built, it was about $120,000. I did a build 3 years ago in downtown San Diego that sat about 35 people, and this is a $1.4 million build. So you can see the disparity, and the costs are endless. I mean, you can go from one end to another. But this is a ramen restaurant, one of them I built in San Diego, so it cranks out a lot of revenue every month. But yeah, the build was definitely very complicated and expensive, and this one took close to 8 months to build. Demographics you want to target. Generally, like I say, some areas don't support a vegan-only option. You know, you have to have maybe a vegetarian option, or you have to have to incorporate ethnic foods. So, like I say, you have to test your market in order to get that information. And once you can refine, you may have to refine the process as you go along, too. You may open, you know, vegetarian, but you may be able to narrow down to vegan options only or vegan food only. So, searching for the property. So, you have several options as to where to get your information from. There's so much information now on the web. You can Google Maps to find out traffic times. Your local Chamber of Commerce has information. And also, what I tell people now, there's two websites you might want to write down if you're ever interested in purchasing a space. BizBen.com and BizBuySell.com. I use BizBen quite a bit as a real estate broker. We post our listings on there. So if I have many clients who sell restaurants, I post it up there. And my clients who want to buy a restaurant, I search for property on BizBen.com. I'll show you an example of the listing here. So you have some, so this is one of my listings that I just sold actually last week to close escrow. It's a cafe, 1,683 square feet. Actually, I did the construction on this 5 years ago, and it turned over a couple times. And this was listed at $145,000. I ended up selling it. I ended up double ending the deal. I ended up selling it for $120,000. So as you can see, in this, like in the, it's different than residential. When you're looking for a house, you know, there's not a lot of play. If you're in a popular area, you're going to pay $500,000 for that house. Maybe negotiate a little bit, you know, 1% or something like that. Or sometimes you have multiple offers. You have to pay more than one, pay more than the asking price. When it comes to commercial property, it's a very soft market, even though the property might be in a very popular area. Like I say, this one was listed originally for 140. I sold it for 120. And even then, the seller was able to take payments. So we had $80,000 down, and the balance of $40,000, I had the buyers pay over a period of 4 months. So it kind of helped them along with the capital. This is another listing I just put up on the market last week. It's a bakery. I built the bakery too. So it's 2.5 years old. It has an 8-foot hood system and has approximately 1,400 square feet. And next door happens to be a vacant space. So the landlord is allowing the new buyers of this bakery to take both spaces. So you'll have almost 2,100 square feet of space. Yeah, and then the asking price is $179,000. So, the bakery originally spent over $300,000 on construction. That's what we built in to build out this bakery. That was 2.5 years ago. I listed this property right now for $179,000. So just to think that kind of, you know, and they were not profitable, and they're going to lose quite a bit, and we may not even get $179,000. The last offer I had was $168,000. So as you can tell, there's bargains on the internet. Oh, sorry. When I say, when you're looking for a piece of property and you're wanting to build out a piece of property or a unit, the best thing to do that I always recommend all my clients to do is look for an existing restaurant. We know what the turnover rate is, right, for restaurants. So it's always good to find that existing restaurant that you can turn over in a short period of time. Sometimes you can do a change of ownership and get that running off the ground instead of having to build it out from scratch, because you'll save yourself from a ton of headaches. So on bizben.com, you just look for, in the search engine, you look for bakery, restaurant, cafe. And then there's the purchase price. The other thing, too, that it doesn't show here is sometimes you'll have the net profits that the owner will make. So say, for instance, a business like this will gross, $200,000 a year, but it says net to the owner, $75,000. So that's how much if you buy that business, you'll make about $75,000 of net income to you per year. That's after all the expenses. So last year I didn't cover any options to your brick and mortar because not everyone has the capital, and the outlay to do a brick and mortar restaurant. So the first alternative I'm giving you is the farmers markets. I suggest this to a lot of people because it's the great idea. It's a great option to have when you're just starting out from almost nothing. Farmers markets for an average 10 by 10 booth typically cost you between $500 to $700 a month. That's $125 a week. And if you think about a brick and mortar store, you're spending $130, $125 a day on the lease space. So how much more can you get out of a farmer's market booth? So again, let's compare this. I'm going to compare each of these options to the brick and mortar store. So in a brick and mortar store, the lease rate is going to cost you $3,000 a month. So you're at $4,200 a month versus $500 to $700 a month. That's quite a stark contrast. The second option, the food truck. How many of you ever considered a food truck? Yeah. So the food truck is a great alternative, and I like this one a lot because you can get a used food truck in a very good condition that has all the equipment already built into it for about $50,000. Of course, you need to update the health permits, get it transferred in your name. Insurance, maintenance, and gas are running another $700 a month. But this option gives you so much more liberty to do what you want because you can apply for permits in different parts of the city that are very successful or very populated. That's where you can actually sell your products. You don't have to be stationary in a brick and mortar store. So think about it again. $50,000 initial outlay, $700 a month. Of course, when you calculate some of the food costs and all the other overhead, but I'm talking about just the initial cash outlay in the monthly expenses. And the other alternative is the community kitchen. 2 years ago, I built a community kitchen near City Heights in San Diego. And what we did is we just renovated an existing kitchen, so they spent about $100,000 on construction. Now what they do, they're partly government funded, but they lease this kitchen so you can have a space in there, a refrigeration space. You can have a time allotted to you or your organization for $25 an hour. And if you can prove low income or you're struggling, whatever, they'll even rent it down to $20 an hour. And that's a phenomenal savings compared to any other alternative that you might have. They'll give you access to the entire range. So you have a range, you have deep fryers, you have a wok station, so you can use all that equipment. And you don't have to pay overhead. They pay everything for you. And then the refrigeration cost, they usually charge about $5 a day to store your goods into the refrigerator, and they put a padlock on there. So the community kitchen is becoming more and more prevalent and more popular. Even JR and I were talking about building a food community kitchen so that those who are aspiring to become chefs or who are chefs and want to get their product out to market can do so. So when you talk about when you're starting to finance your restaurant, The reason why I don't suggest you do a brick and mortar restaurant, there's a lot of cost that you haven't, you know, that's foreseen and unforeseen. First of all, people say, can I just get a loan? The answer in so many words is no. Unless you have a private investor or you have a family member who's just willing to dole out some money, which most of us don't have, it's awfully difficult. And you don't want to dump your life savings in this thing either, trust me, it's too risky. An SBA loan is often issued by like Wells Fargo, Bank of America, the bigger institutions, if you have one, at least one successful restaurant that has been in existence for 2 years. At that point, they'll reevaluate your financials, and they'll issue you an SBA loan to finance your second location. But like I say, the first location is the most difficult to get off the ground, and you got to be successful in that to get your second one. The other thing I often emphasize too, I mentioned this morning about having a business partner, and if you could go it alone, that's more power to you. But if you have a business partner, always work out an exit strategy. You know, in any business actually, it applies to that. You want to have a successful, you want to have a business exit strategy worked out before you get into the business. The business line of credit is another thing you can get. If you have your first store, you can get a business line of credit, but if you're very limited. It's like taking a home equity line against your house. You're only limited by a certain amount. Generally, if you're building a small, you know, 1,000-square-foot brick and mortar store, you can get a line of credit of about $15,000 to $20,000 from Wells Fargo. That's they treat it like a credit card. So, knowing your broker and your contractor, I'm not going to dwell heavily on this part, but as I mentioned, first of all, your broker's got to scout out the right properties. And this is one of the reasons why I became a broker is because I'll tell you a quick story. One of my construction customers were building a third restaurant, and their broker found this building. And the building was in a great location. The lease rate was fairly low, $6 a square foot. But I went to go visit the property, and it was a disaster. The plumbing was old, cast iron pipes. The ceiling was too low for a hood. The parking was miserable. And the broker kept pushing it upon the buyers, said, you got to take this property. It's an excellent location. You're not going to find this deal. So I told him, do not take this location. Well, guess what? 3 weeks later, the broker convinced him to take it. He took it, and I got stuck with the problems. Sure enough, we got stuck with the building department. We were held up for 6 months. They were paying $6,000 a month for the lease. So they wasted $36,000 during this time. And that was a painful lesson for them. And they wish that they had listened to me, but it happens all the time. The brokers will push a property upon the buyer, not knowing the intricacies of the building. So, you got to know your broker's reputation. Are they looking out for you? And then also work with the contractor that you're planning to use. Have this all lined up before you start searching. Know the building so that you don't run into trouble later on. And you should find a contractor that builds restaurants. I mean, after I built the first couple of restaurants, I just continually get phone calls for people. They want me to build more restaurants. I have to reject at least 3 projects a year because I'm just flooded with work. I mean, it just rolls in day after day. And then you got to do all your due diligence regarding the contractor's qualifications. So once you get to the construction of your restaurant, you get to that phase, selecting the architect, selecting the designer. So oftentimes you don't have the requisite knowledge of you know, the construction phase. So that's why you need a kitchen designer. A kitchen designer lays out the kitchen for you. Give them the menu. You give them your concept. And they can lay out the kitchen how you should have it, and to make it as economically feasible as possible. So always, you know, it might cost a little more money, but you'll save more money and time in the long run is to get the proper designers in line. And what you're going to do is you come up with your concept, you come up with their menu, because when you start your permitting process, the health department wants to know what your menu is, because based on your menu is how you're going to have your equipment, your grease trap, and everything else that goes along with it. So your concept and your menu is very important. You just can't be too vague about it. You have to be pretty specific about it. And then once you get that concept together, you're going to put it, submit it to the city. You submit it to the environmental health, which is the health department. And then you have to submit it to the wastewater management, which controls the grease down the sewer line. So there's three entities. And there's a fourth entity, which I didn't mention, is the fire department. If you put a hood system in, you're dealing with the fourth governmental entity, which is the fire department. Now you can see why I'm not eager to build restaurants. You're just dealing with one governmental entity after another, which causes delay after delay after delay. So one of the most important parts that of launching a restaurant is to market your restaurant. I just had a situation 2 weeks ago. There's a franchise dessert, well, it's like a drink dessert place, like, you know, Boba or whatever. It's in San Diego, and it's the only store they have in San Diego, but they're making a fortune in Orange County, L.A., San Francisco, and the whole Bay Area, Seattle. But in San Diego, they're not able to gain any traction. So they asked me to sell their business. So I said, okay, how much are you into this? Well, we paid $75,000 for the franchise fee, okay? And I said, how much did you spend on construction? They spent $200,000 on construction. I said, there's no way I'm going to get you $275,000 to break even. I said, the most I can get you is maybe $150,000. So the only way to help them in this situation is I called in some marketing experts. We're going to have to just make their business successful, you know, to recoup their expenses. So this is something that they didn't think about initially, or they didn't work hard enough initially to do, is marketing their space, their restaurant, their cafe. So I always say set aside capital before your launch and promote your business 2 months at least before you launch. You got to build a solid social media platform. Now, like myself, I still have an AOL account. And most people laugh and scoff at it, but that's how old school I am. But, you know, there's so many millennials and past, before, I mean, younger than that, that are so savvy with Instagram, with Yelp, with Facebook, and they're so good at marketing. Like, they don't even have marketing degrees, but they're just a natural at their thumbs. And so what I would say is, you know, fine, there's so many marketing companies, so many people that do this on the side. It doesn't have to be a full-out PR firm, but you should have some social media platform before you get started, just to spread the word out about your concept. You'll be further ahead than you'll ever be if you just try to launch it with a sign in the front. The local media outlets is kind of interesting. There are so many news stations. Have you ever watched the news in the morning, Channel 5 or Channel 8? In the morning, they always have a segment that kind of features a food product, right? Or so they do a cooking demonstration or something. Well, those people will actually come out to your restaurant or to your kitchen, whatever, and they'll actually promote you for free. And you'll get on, how many thousands of eyes are watching this at the office or getting ready for work? So it's a great way to utilize free media exposure, and that's what we've done before to launch many of the restaurants. And the other option, if you have more capital available, is to use the PR firm. They charge maybe about $3,000 to $4,000 a month to launch your project. They have you know, the AAA travel magazine. So they have access to, you know, the editors over there. They'll send articles about your food, about your restaurant to those magazines, and they'll promote it that way. But it costs money, you know. So there's other ways that you can launch your product without having to spend that kind of capital. So I want to leave you with a thought for today, or a couple thoughts for today. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." When you launch your idea, you know, think of who you're impacting, your family, your finances, and the community around you. And this is something you got to put your whole heart into. I had three other businesses. It's hard to sustain a fourth one. And this is something that I didn't quite think of before. So when achieving your goal, think of all the ramifications of who you're affecting when you're building this business. But when you build something like this and you're successful at it, it's a great tool for ministry. It's a gathering place, and it becomes a testimony. You know, we've had Bible studies in our cafe. We've had social events for people who are non-SDAs to come into our cafe. It's just a great thing to have if you can sustain it. You know, so what I want you to do, what I want you to think about is I've given you some ideas on how to generate or even contemplate having your own restaurant business. You know, you're free to contact me for details and how to do this. And JR's even mentioned about doing a full workshop on this, which we may have to do someday. The other thing too, if you have the information today and you know someone, a relative or a friend who wants to do this, share the information with them. That's what you can do. Share the information with them. They may benefit from it. And you're always welcome to contact me. I have my information up here. I used my Gmail account today just to make it look like I'm a little more up with the times. But yeah, I don't charge for, you know, a lot of people come to me for consultations, for advice, and I always freely give it to them because I want everyone to be successful. I want everyone to succeed and excel in what they do spread God's message through this ministry. Thank you.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.